I'm having instructions here, so is that better? Okay, all right. Good evening, everyone. I trust that you are going to be blessed by the word tonight. When Keith asked me, when I got the roster, then I had this idea of what I wanted to do. And then as the weeks progressed, I thought, you know, at school we are learning about Nehemiah, so I could always do a good sermon on Nehemiah. And in children's ministry, we are learning about 12 apostles, so that's also a possibility. And yesterday morning when I woke up, I had two words that dropped into my spirit: soul ties. And so then I said, yes, Lord, let me be obedient. And it took me the most part of yesterday to get the message together, but I pray that as a minister, you would understand. I've got two different sets of notes. So the one is the full notes and the other one is the edited, because Keith said I have half an hour to talk. So, you know, with a woman, that's a little bit short. I'm going to speak loud. Oh. Okay, I'm going to, let me take a deep breath, put my teacher's voice on, and can you hear me now if I talk? All right. Okay. So, we are made of three parts: body, soul, and spirit. The body is very evident. It's all of our organs, and it's tangible. You can touch it. Whereas our spirit and soul, you can't touch it. We are aware that we have a spirit and soul, but you cannot actually draw it out. You know, like you could touch a hand. All right. And so Paul puts it this way: we live in an earth suit, or a tent. In 2 Corinthians 5, verse 1, we read this: for we know that if our earthly house, this tent, is destroyed, we have a building from God, a house not made out of hands, eternal in the heavens. So in other words, our body will not live forever, but our spirit and our soul will live forever. And we know that God created Adam, and he breathed the breath of life into him. And when he breathed that breath in, it was actually the soul that he breathed into it. And when our spirit is reborn, it's regenerated. So we are definitely three different parts. I wanted just to get that clear. All right. So what is a soul tie? It's a bit... often people say, well, I don't understand this. Okay, so a soul tie is the knitting of two souls together. Like if you know how to knit, it's knit one. And if you're doing stocking stitch, it's one row purl, one row plain. But this is about knitting the souls together in the spiritual realm. So although we cannot see it, we do definitely feel it. And God intended us to have a good soul tie for good, beneficial things, to build us up, to make us strong. But we know the Satan has always got the counterfeit, and he likes to come and destroy our souls. And so we're going to talk a little bit about that. Okay, so when a soul tie is formed, it will affect our thinking, which is our mind, our choosing, which is our will, and our feelings and emotions. And obviously there are positive and negative soul ties. An unhealthy or ungodly soul tie is centered on which is lustful, sinful, and temporal. It only lasts for a moment and then it goes away. And now there's a difference between an unhealthy soul tie and an ungodly. Okay, so an unhealthy soul tie is when somebody has control over your soul in an unhealthy manner, and I will speak about it as I'm going. Where is an ungodly one? We know that is where Satan has his rule and his reign. So I'm going to talk about the first good soul tie is about marriage. Okay, when a man and a woman get married, they form a soul tie, and this soul tie is based on mutual love and respect and submission to one another in the fear of Christ. See, it's not only the woman that needs to submit to Christ, it's the woman and the man that need to submit to Christ. They have make a spiritual connection when they become physically intimate. And the Greek word for it is kalo, which means joined. And here we go to the scripture about in Genesis 2 and verse 24, it says, therefore a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and they shall become one flesh. All right. So we, and then in Ephesians 5, verse 31, it says, for this reason a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. And so in that we make, or when they become one flesh, they make that spiritual connection. All right, so when you make your vows, you know, many people think the wedding is actually about the dress and all the frills that go with it and the flowers and the reception. But actually the wedding is actually a covenant, and when we make those vows become binding in the spirit. So when you say that you will obey and you will trust and you will love and you will cherish, in the spiritual realm, you become bound to those things. All right. This same soul tie, the negative side of it is that very often the one partner will use it to dominate the other. And that is not God's purpose. God's purpose is that we walk in submission to one another and that we treat each other with great respect. All right, the next one is about the parent and the child. Okay, so we have an essential bond. A mother and a father has an essential bond with the child. Now, very often, the mother will have the soul tie while the child is still in the womb, but the father will develop that soul tie once that child's bonded. So if a husband does not hold the child, the bonding does not happen. Okay. So the reason why God intended this is for parents to love and nurture the child. When the child lives in love and nurture, they are going to grow up to be a healthy adult. They're going to feel safe and secure, and they're going to be healthy. Now, this is something that I didn't know about, so that was quite interesting in the research that I did yesterday. Right, a child will grow up to be stable, and they grow physically, spiritually, and emotionally when they feel bonded to their parents. Okay, in Genesis 44 and verse 20, that this is the account where Joseph, okay, where Joseph's brothers brought him to where they went into Egypt to get food. Then he kept on asking about his brother, and then in Genesis 44 verse 20 they said, and we said to my Lord, we have a father, an old man, and a child of his old age who is young. His brother is dead. Well, obviously they were talking about Joseph. And he is alone, is left of his mother's children, and his father loves him. So there we can see that it's so important that a father has a love for our child. When the essential bonding is missing, the child becomes a target for the enemy. And we will meet very many people in our lives who are misdirected because of this lack of bonding, okay? Because of rejection and insecurity they feel. The child feels incomplete because they know that missing part is not there, and they will search for a loving, bonded relationship all their lives. Isn't that sad? Isn't that very, very, very sad that God has created us to love and to nurture, but if it's not done, that child is then at risk. All right. So now the next part is about what happens when our children get married. All right. So this is a very important part, because now we as parents have that soul tie with that child. But if that child takes that soul tie into their marriage, it's wrong. It is wrong. Okay. So So the soul tie needs to be broken. That does not mean that the child does not respect and still honor their parents, but they need to do it. So now, where does this happen in the marriage ceremony? When does it happen in the marriage ceremony? I'll show you. Yeah, the Lord showed me very many things. The pastor will ask, who gives of this bride? And the father will stand up and say, her mother and I do. Then immediately, the soul tie with the child, the bride, and the parents is broken. Isn't that amazing? It's quite amazing. So actually, we should do it for both parents. We should actually in a marriage ceremony, the husband and the wife should do it. Okay. All right. Then the other side is that once your children are married, if you do not break that soul tie, that is what causes an unhealthy soul tie, because the mother or the father is constantly wanting to call the children back to them. Whereas in the godly way, we should release our children to live the godly life that God had intended for them. So some parents, and I'm talking now from a little bit of experience that I've had in our family, will use money to control the children. So when they know that the children are battling, they'll say, but if you do this for me, then I will give you the money for whatever it is. And actually, our children need to stand on their own 2 feet when they get married. You make your mistakes. We made lots of mistakes, financial mistakes, when we were young, and we would always go to the Lord and say, Lord, we've messed up again. Please, will you help us? And he was always faithful in helping us to get our finances. So your parents are not the bailout. Because if they bail you out, then it creates an unhealthy way. And it's either way, because it could happen for the parents and the children, or the children, if the parents are dependent financially on the children, then there can be manipulation that happens. And that is not what God intended. All right. So the next soul tie is friendships. We need to have godly friendships, okay? So in the Bible, there are a few examples of good friendships, and the one is David and Jonathan. And that day I'm going to read from 1 Samuel 18, verse 1. It says, now when he had finished speaking to Saul, the soul of Jonathan was knit to the soul of David, and Jonathan loved him as his own soul. And because of that soul tie and the covenant that Jonathan and David made, later on, Mephibosheth was rescued because of that. So that is a good soul tie. The other soul tie that we know about is Elijah and Elisha. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. They were an example of good friendships, because when the king said, you bow, they said, we will not bow. We will not bow. And they stood together. And in the end, they triumphed because they stood together. So you need friends like that, that will stand with you even in the midst of death. All right. The wonderful thing about godly friendships is that anointing rubs off. The more that you spend time with godly people, the more the anointing goes, the more that you fellowship in the Word, you're encouraging each other in the Word, the greater and stronger you go. All right. The same thing goes for negative things. If you have a negative friendship or ungodly friendship, those negative traits of the wrong person will be evident in the choices you make. And in 1 Corinthians 15, verse 33, it says, do not be deceived. Evil company corrupts good habits. So even if we go in with the greatest of intentions, we must really be careful. That does not mean that you cannot have friends that are not Christian. But you must judge your time. And if you know that that person is pulling you down, rather don't spend time with that person, because they are just pulling you down. But if you're having an opportunity to minister and draw them to the Lord, then that is, it's fine, because it's good for the kingdom. But we just must now make sure that it overtakes us. All right. Then the next one. Romantic relationships. Oh, I can just stand here and talk to our youth. All right. We need to be careful when we start dating and make sure that the person is a godly person and that they believe the same things as you do. All right. So in 2 Corinthians 6 verse 14 it says this, "Do not be unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship has righteousness with lawlessness? And what communion has light with darkness? And what accord has Christ with Belial? Or what part has a believer with an unbeliever? And what agreement has the temple of God with idols? For you are the temple of the living God, as God has said, I will dwell among them, I will walk among them, I will be their God, and they shall be my people." So make sure that you are not unequally yoked. Many people think that they will save their spouse, and then they have a terrible marriage, and it does not work. All right. The next point, yeah. Okay, so intimacy is not purely physical. Okay, it's emotional too. Because when estrogen and testosterone get together, that is what attracts you to people of the opposite sex. Then we've got other brain chemicals that are called dopamine and non-rapine. Okay, these chemicals inside of our brain is what gives off the attraction pheromones and things. So make sure that when you are attracted to a person, that it's not just those brain chemicals that are affecting you. All right. And when you share your intimate and emotional contents of your heart, you form a soul tie. Now, very many people just think that it's only during sex that you create that soul tie. It's not true. It's not true. When you share your heart with somebody, then you form a soul tie with them. Whether it's good or bad, that depends on the relationship. All right. This sometimes can become unhealthy if you have a soul tie with the wrong person, because that person becomes dependent on you, or you become dependent on them and they lead you astray, or you lead them astray. All right, so when it comes to romantic relationships, we need to keep our priorities on kingdom purposes. All right. So I'm going to read Psalm 19, verse 9 to 11 to show you what the Lord says about. "The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether, more to be desired than they are than gold, yes, much fine gold, sweeter also than honey and honeycomb. Moreover, by them your servant is warned, and in keeping them there is a great reward." So if we keep God's word, then there is a great reward for us. Okay. Pardon? All right. So Christians, we also have soul ties with Christians. Okay. Because the church is made up of many members who are knit together and they're built up together with love. That is why when you meet our spirit inside of us witnesses with other Christians, but when we work together in a church community, then that is when we form that soul tie. And it's a wonderful thing because it enables us to work together, but we also must be careful when we work in a ministry that we keep those boundary lines in a very safe place. We need to keep them in a very safe place. Okay. So I'm going to read Ephesians 6 verse 14. It says here, "From whom the whole body, joined and knit together by what every joint supplies, according to the effective working which every part does its share, causes the growth of the body for edifying itself in love." In the church, we do everything to edify each other and to do it in love, showing our Christian love. All right. Then the next section I've called the bad. Yeah, so that was the good, and now we're doing the bad. All right, so the negative effect of when we have a linkage in a soul realm, what at first looked good can bring us greatest pain. So we must be very careful in the relationship and associations we make with other people. Soul ties can be used for Satan's advantage, especially if they're formed outside marriage, as this defiles our bodies. And this gives Satan legal ground to attack you. Now, we've gone through this whole section of spiritual warfare, and we do not want to give Satan legal ground. In 1 Corinthians 6, verse 18, it says, "Flee sexual immorality. Every sin that a man does is outside the body, but he who commits sexual immorality sins against his own body." So be careful of that, because we do not want to sin against our own body, because once you have, then Satan keeps on coming back and reminding you of what he does. And I'm always amazed by what he says, because he will lure you into sin, and Satan lures us into sin, and then once we've sinned, then he comes and condemns us. So just be very, very, very careful. All right. Then there's a story about Dinah, who was the daughter of Leah, and she was Jacob's son. And let me just read it for you from Genesis 34. "Now Dinah, the daughter of Leah, whom had been born to Jacob, went out to see the daughters of the land." So she went out to be with her friends. "And when Shechem, the son of Hamor the Hivite, prince of the country, saw her, he took her and lay with her and violated her. And his soul was strongly attracted to Dinah, the daughter of Jacob. And he loved the young woman and spoke kindly to the young woman." So you see, there he formed a soul tie, and that's why he couldn't keep away from her. But because of his actions, he'd made a soul tie with her, and then he wanted to marry her, which was obviously definitely not right. It led friction between the families, which led to war. So we must be very careful of our actions, because our actions don't only affect us, but others, and also generations to follow. Sometimes we just think, you know, this is just my little space, and this is my mistake, but it's not. It's not just our space. We affect those who we come after us. All right. Then the ugly part of the soul tie. Dabbling in the occult, whether knowingly or unknowingly, will result in opening doors for a soul tie and possible oppression or possession. In James 4, verse 17, it says, "Therefore to him who knows to do good and does not do it, to him it is sin." In other words, we know what's right and wrong. God has given us that barometer of what's right and wrong. And so therefore, we should know what's right and wrong. But when we choose to ignore what God's word says and what our conscience says, then we open ourselves up for oppression and possession. We need to be careful about what we say. Like, "I can't live without you." Now, how many of us have said that when we're young and we're dating? "I can't live without you." Well, actually, yes, you can. "I can't be happy without you." Well, what is one person going to make your whole life happy or unhappy? All right. "Or I will die without you." Now think about those words. You say them, and they have great impact. Yeah. So I know that many of us might have already said that when we are so in love, we don't think about what we say, but we should guard our words. Put a guard over your mouth and be careful what we say. All right. Demonic soul ties are founded in lust. Satan cannot go beyond his limited rights. He must work within the framework of which is allowed. When the enemy gets the opportunity, he will pervert what is pure. You see, God created everything to be pure, but Satan comes along and He's like the roaring lion. He wants to pervert things and draw people into sin. All right, so what can you do? What can you do? All right, so God wants us to follow the right path. He wants us to follow the right path. And so I'm going to give you a few scriptures about what he says. Proverbs 4, verse 23, it says this, "Keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it spring the issues of life." So be careful what's going on inside of your heart. In Proverbs 4, verse 14 to 16, it says, "Do not enter the path of the wicked, and do not walk in the way of the evil. Avoid it, do not travel on it. Turn away and pass on, for they do not sleep unless they have done evil, and their sleep is taken away unless they make someone fall." That is the demon's assignment to every person that lives on this earth. He wants us to fall. So don't even go there. If you know it's a dangerous road, don't go there. Don't go there in your physical life. Do not go there in your thought life, because once he's lured you in your thought life, you will be enticed to go that way. Proverbs 22, verse 4 to 5 says this, "By humility and fear of the Lord are riches and honor and life. Thorns and snares are the way of the perverse, but he who guards his soul will be very far from them." All right. So if you feel that you have an unhealthy or ungodly soul tie, it needs to be dealt with and cut off. In Jesus' name. All right. So, soul ties have a great impact on everyone. And we do need to be careful who we allow to get close to us, who we allow to impact us. The other thing that we also need, just like when somebody gets married, they need to break the soul tie with their parents. If somebody that you've loved has passed on, you need to cut that soul tie and break that soul tie as well. Just because the person has died does not mean that that soul tie is not in effect on you, not on the other person, because they have passed over. And so be careful who you allow to get close to you. Be careful what you think about and what you do, because it has an impact in the soul realm. All right. So let's close our eyes and pray. Father, we just thank you that your word is so rich, and that, Lord, that you have treasures in your word. And that, Lord, that you want your people to be free and to live with healthy soul ties. We pray that, Lord, that you would break any ungodly or unhealthy soul ties. And that, Lord, that you would restore us to good, godly soul ties. We ask this in your mighty name, Jesus. Amen.